All right, so here we are, final episode of the quarterback show. First, we start off continuing our discussion on Ryan Tannehill. There's a lot more to be said about Ryan Tannehill. He draws some comparisons to Sam Darnold's current situation. We'll see kind of how that plays out, but I think that's a really interesting part of the conversation. Then we move on to the real meat of this episode, which is talking about Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick and why they don't have jobs in the NFL and the reason they should have jobs in the NFL. We get pretty deep into that, and then we finish up with some of my favorite quarterbacks, the guys that are lower on the list, but I'm still kind of high on. I like Gardner Minshew a lot. We talk about him. Josh Allen, there's a bit of a debate that comes up with there. My eyes are opened. They have been recently, but I still love you, Josh Allen. Just get better at throwing a deep ball. I still love you, though. So go check it out. This is it for the quarterback shows. Next week, we're going to have college football stuff. Two college football episodes at least, maybe three. Taking a look mainly at the Western United States. We're going to look at the Mountain West Conference, independent schools like BYU and the Pac-12 pretty heavily, and we will see just what we come out with out of there. Plus, will college football even happen? But we have some great guests coming on for that, really smart college football people who are great, who grind the tape, who do all that stuff. So we're going to have them on. Jake Hatch again, who was on for the 49ers and NFC West offseason recap, and Brian Brown, who is a fantastic contributor to 24/7 Sports. So check those out later this week, and then I believe I might have one more show out, but I kind of doubt it. A short break, and then the first week of July, July 1st, I think, maybe July 2nd, depends on how the dates fall. We're going to start with some division previews and get those done in July, and then we'll see how the outlook for football looks in August. So check all that out. All right, enjoy this, one of my favorite episodes of the year. Thank you.
There's a reason I think the Jets have really screwed up what they're doing with Sam Darnold, and I think it's similar to what happened with Ryan Tannehill, where Ryan Tannehill was stuck on the Dolphins for so long, stuck in essentially purgatory with very little talent around him, and then he ended up signing on for cheap with somebody and turned into like what might be a – and again, we don't know for sure yet, but he looked good enough that you definitely – it's worth paying him to find out, and I do wonder if that's what's going to happen to Sam Darnold in 2 years. The Jets decide, oh, well, he was a bust. Let's not pay him. And then he signs on with somebody else, and he ends up looking like a Pro Bowl talent.
Yeah, that's a good point there. All right, do we have time for one more round here?
I mean, I'm good if y'all are.
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Y'all are, yeah.
Perfect. All right, so one more round, and then I have one kind of final question to finish this all off. So during my preamble here, think really hard about one guy you really want to attack, and I'll throw it. I'm going to go right to left on my screen this time. So we're going to go backwards here, snake draft style. Trey, who's your last guy that you want to talk about?
I don't want to end it off with something that's slam dunk. So, let's talk about Phillip Rivers, which it's a little interesting to really discuss Phillip Rivers because it was you don't know really you have varying opinions about what the guy still has and what the guy can still bring. I had him at 21. Actually, I had him at 20. My bad, I had him at 20. It's hard to see. It's hard to really, I guess you could say, dissect on what he can really bring. He's been savvy, smart. He still throw the football, I guess. Say that, but he didn't have a good year. He had a good year last year, but before that, the year before that, he had some eyebrows raising. So add him to a Colts team that's missed the playoffs and needs a quarterback to get him back to the playoffs. I think it's going to be real interesting to see what he can bring to the table now that he's older than what he used to be.
Yeah, to me, Rivers is the one guy on my list that I just feel like he could totally bite me. Like, I have him at 30. I have Andy Dalton below him at 31, and I have Drew Lock above him. I don't know. The Chargers, this is, again, a bias. The Chargers depressed me so much last year, I really stopped watching Chargers games and have refused to watch Chargers games really outside of the Broncos games that they've played in. So I don't have a ton to go off outside of stats and highlights, but he threw the ball a ton more last year. Like, he just said, screw it, like, more times than not. And that's why his interception numbers went up. And I just kind of – it seems like behind a great offensive line like Indy has, it seems like he will succeed in that offense.
Here's I think – The thing that I've been wondering about Philip Rivers is, do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
That's so – he's like
– Without counting this year. Because I don't either. Because – and again, I don't want to hate on him, because I do think that he did a lot of really good things for the Chargers. But he ends up – when things start to go bad, he ends up contributing it because he's pressing. And I do think that a big chunk of what his offense is the fact that he dumps off to running backs so much. And I'm not trying to hate on that. I think that's an effective way to move the ball when you have players like Austin Ekeler and Melvin Gordon. But when the offensive line started to fall apart, and this happened multiple times over his time with the Chargers, when the offensive line starts to leak a little bit, he starts to force things whenever he goes deeper than checkdowns, and he ends up coughing the ball up way too much. And he actually – it's not just him trying to get the Chargers back into games. It's what leads them to being at a deficit to start with. I think this year he could be like the 20th to 22nd best quarterback, but I also think kind of like Big Ben, not necessarily because of an injury, but I do think like there is a possibility that he could go from being like kind of okay to pretty bad. I do think this is the last year Philip Rivers is going to play. I think the fact that he kind of took one last year, kind of see what happens. And, like, if everything kind of comes up roses, maybe he'll come back. But I would bet that if he has a similar year to what he's had with the Chargers, this will be it. And I think that the Colts are built to be a run-first team, and they don't really have a lot at receiver. So I do think that Rivers is going to probably make the tight ends and the running backs. Like, Jonathan Taylor, if you're looking to do fantasy football and PPR matters, I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be a really good pick this year, because he's going to get a lot of opportunities to catch the ball. And he already is a really talented runner. So if he can hold up as a receiver, he's going to be great. But that said, I think they're probably the second best team in the AFC South, maybe the third best team. And I don't think Rivers is going to push them over that. I think he's a small upgrade over Jacoby Brissett, but not much of one.
To my knowledge, Philip Rivers is the only man who has won the Comeback Player of the Year award after not an injury, but just sucking for a year. Despite that, I have him extremely high on this list compared to you guys. I have him at 13 below Cam Newton and above Matt Ryan. I am excited to see Philip Rivers with a line. Something, you know, I've never seen him with an offensive line, and that was the Chargers', you know, biggest miscomings. You know, you have Philip Rivers, who I think is a Hall of Famer, and then you never got him the protection to keep him upright. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yep. I feel weird about having him this high up when you guys have him so low. So now I'm kind of second guessing myself here.
I would just make – this is not really a quarterback thing. But, Joe, I would hardcore disagree on the fact that they have no wide receivers. I just think that Michael
Pittman – Hilton, and I like Michael Pittman. But I do think you can't count on a rookie receiver like they're going to be.
I think Paris Campbell is the real deal.
But he's always hurt, man.
I loved Paris Campbell when he came out. Like, I loved him probably too much just because I saw what he could do as an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But he just has so far to go from what he was doing with Urban Meyer to being a competent slot receiver that maybe he does it. And again, I'll eat my words if I'm wrong on Philip Rivers and he has the help to like put up the numbers. But I do think that he's gonna end up being really reliant on T.Y. Hilton. And then he's going to end up feeding the ball a lot to Jack Doyle and the washed-up corpse of Trey Burton.
I like Zach Pascal a lot. I just want to throw that in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't dislike Zach Pascal, but I don't think he's a real difference maker. And I do think that Quentin Nelson and the offensive line is good enough that they could be a run first offense. And if their defense comes along, they could win games. I just don't think Phillip Rivers is necessarily the big reason they're gonna win games so much as the hope is that he's a slight enough upgrade from Jacoby Brissett and he's not gonna turn the ball over. And I don't think that's any sort of like real guarantee. Just because when things start to go bad, Phillip Rivers does turn the ball over a lot.
Right.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think everyone's banking on the offensive line being the major key.
Yep.
Because it has been over, you know, I mean, for so long. But is it too late? You know, is it too late to fix Rivers is the major question. You know, he could be, you know, can't teach an old dog new trick. You know, maybe it's to the point where he's too further towards his decline where a better offensive line in a running game won't even really help him much. So I'm really interested to see. I had him pretty high. I had him at 13. Then I sent it to my buddy Adam, my co-host on my podcast, and he was like, ugh. And then I just thought about it, like, man, Phillip Rivers put some bad tape out there last year, man. Like, I watched a couple of games, and it was really bad. Like, just what are you doing, Phillip? So, you know, is that just the offensive line and him pressing? I don't know. Maybe so. Will that change with the Colts? Don't know. But, you know, I just had enough respect for him to put him at 13. But is he a Hall of Famer? No. And I completely blame the Chargers organization for that. You know, I mean, I think if they if even though they've drafted actually well over the years, but if, you know, if they could have gave that guy a better offensive line and, you know, a coaching staff that's a little more creative, I really think they could have won a, you know, a Super Bowl or two over his time, but unfortunately that just didn't happen, man.
Or self-scout and figure out that Ezekiel or not Ezekiel, why am I Eckler, figure out that Eckler's your running back 3 years ago. Where's
yeah,
this
right. Running?
Okay, so here's I really want to move on from Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
But I have one last question that could impact this. Is this the best coach Phillip Rivers has ever had? Because I think Frank Reich is great, but who has he had? He's had Anthony Lynn and Mike McCoy for his entire career.
And why can't the guy the name?
Ken Whisenhunt was okay North for him. Yeah. And North Turner wasn't terrible.
He wasn't that bad, yeah.
But I do think Frank Reich is probably the most creative. Like, he's the best quarterback slash, like, passing coach that he's had. So, like, I do think if Phillip Rivers does have, like, a surprise resurgence type of year, it wouldn't completely surprise me. I'm not counting on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's just no world where Frank Reich in 2020 is worse than North Turner in 2006. You know what I mean? Like, it's not North Turner in 1993.
Right. So, Joe, who we got next here?
So, this would not be a good quarterback ranking if we didn't talk about Colin Kaepernick. Like, we have to talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just – and honestly, and I think him and Cam Newton both, not in the same light, but I think we have to talk about Cam Newton also, just because the fact that Cam Newton, first I'll start with that. The fact that Cam Newton is out of football right now to me seems crazy, just because Cam Newton is definitely a top 20, top 25 type of quarterback. I think this is my theory. My belief is the idea that Cam needs a system to fit his talent and he's also an injury risk, combined with the fact that he wouldn't necessarily be a good backup, makes it hard to sign him unless you're committed to it. That's my theory. But that's just based off, like, what I've seen of him and then knowing that, like, he has missed time recently.
See, I kind of totally forgot about Cam, and I just plugged him in. I'd have him at 15, right below Baker and right ahead of Kirk Cousins.
I badly wish the Broncos would have signed him as the backup instead of Jeff Driscoll. But I just know with the way the media atmosphere is, it would have been really hard to do so because every time Drew Locke like farted, they would have been calling for Cam Newton to start. But that said, like if Drew Locke misses time this year, Jeff Driscoll ends up playing, I'll wish Denver had Cam Newton. Like every single play that Jeff Driscoll plays, I will wish they had Cam Newton instead of him.
Right. Well, and I'd like to hold on, Jodders. I'd like to make a point just quickly, Joe Rowe, on that whole media thing. If you really think Drew Locke can't handle the pressure of having a great starting quarterback behind him. How is he ever going to handle the pressure of a tight fourth quarter NFL game, let alone a playoff game? I don't know.
No, I think that's a fair. I think that's a fair question. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm saying the rationale that I believe is being made with Cam Newton, and this is probably around the league as a whole. Cam Newton won an MVP. He made it to a Super Bowl. So, the media atmosphere for most teams, if you have a younger quarterback that you're not sure of but you want to see, and you sign Cam Newton, every time he makes a mistake, the media is going to start asking every single teammate. They're going to write thought pieces about why Cam Newton should be playing. And I'm not saying that necessarily that the quarterback himself that was starting can't handle it, whether it's Drew Lock or Daniel Jones or Gardner Minshew, any of those guys. But I do think it becomes a distraction. And I'm not saying that's Cam Newton's fault it's a distraction, but I do believe it becomes a distraction because what ends up happening, and this happened when the Broncos had Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch, and they could have had Colin Kaepernick. Everyone was saying, why don't they have Kaepernick? And what ends up happening is the locker room, whether they admit it or not, start to wonder that too. Why are we prodding Paxton Lynch out there when he can't complete 40% of his passes when we can have a guy who made it to a Super Bowl? And that would be a question that would happen.
Right, and listen, Cam Newton, I watched the Saints play against him since 2011. He's an alpha dog. Mm-hmm. He's not a backup. This is a guy that wants to start and is extremely competitive. He will take over a locker room quickly. So I wanted him with the Broncos too, but I wanted him to start. And that's no offense to Drew Lock. It's just I just think Cam Newton, if he's healthy, would give them a true chance to succeed, man. Cam Newton, he was really hurt these past 2 years. Mm-hmm. Carolina Panthers really mismanaged him and almost RG3'd him. So I don't know where he is now. I think that's the major question with this coronavirus. Nobody has really been able to really get him in the building and really take a look at his foot and his shoulder and all the things that's been ailing him. But if he's healthy and he's 90% of what Cam Newton was, say 2017, before he got hurt then, man, that's these teams are really slipping and they got this guy just sitting out there.
Why not New England? Because to me, if he becomes a Patriot and he is even half of what we think he is, New England's going to the Super Bowl. They have the roster where if he is on that team, they are going to make a deep playoff run.
And here's my question with that. The fact that the Patriots didn't sign him, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Jarrett Stidham. Because if Jarrett Stidham does not hit the ground running as an average-ish quarterback in year one, it's going to look like a second guessing because the Patriots roster is built to win now. And they have taken some losses from even last year's roster, but that defense is aging, but it's still a very the talent, the core is still talented, in that secondary. Mm-hmm. And so if they're just going to run it with a Jarrett Stidham, who's kind of a guy and we're not sure of, it is going to look kind of questionable.
I just realized that I forgot Jarrett Stidham. So I think that
I did too. I totally forgot him.
Yeah.
Until just now.
I had him at 36.
I would have him down in that same range just because when I watched him coming out because I thought Denver might like him, and I did not think he was going to make it as an NFL player. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. But I do think this is the thing that's happening with Cam Newton, and I think it's going to end up being a thing with Colin Kaepernick, is these teams that have and this is a Gardner Minshew conversation in a way. The Jaguars are going to ride with Gardner Minshew this year. But what they're really thinking is, if Gardner Minshew isn't good enough that we win 4 games, he might be something because we're now out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. But if you sign a Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton, the upside is you have a 30-ish quarterback who's good enough to get you out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. Mm-hmm. You might very, very well happier if you end up getting Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence than if you get Colin Kaepernick at 30-ish or Cam Newton at 30-ish. And I think that's the case with the Jaguars. I think that's kind of where the Buffalo Bills are. I think that's where Washington is. I don't really think that much of Dwayne Haskins based on what I saw from last year. But I think if you're Washington, you basically have to give him this year and see what happens. And that's why I'm so curious to see what they do with Kyle Allen. But I do think if you're going to give the the ball to Kyle Allen over Dwayne Haskins, you should just give the ball to Cam Newton or Colin Kaepernick. That's my opinion.
I was just saying, if you're speaking on, I guess you could say a landing spot for Cam Newton, forget doggone New England. What about Chicago? Chicago got out there and gotten Cam Newton. And
they traded for Nick Foles.
Yeah, and got Nick Foles. Farted and got Nick Foles. Nick Foles.
Listen, that's another guy, and this is great because this is bringing up another. I'm curious where you guys have Foles because I have him at 35. I don't think he's – I used to think he's good, but I watched him last year. He's not good.
See, and with my list, I didn't really go past 32. I just – plugged in 32 quarterbacks that I think would start for all 32 teams. And Foles, I had him at 31, just above Jared Stidham. And there, I think I've really come to the mindset that Nick Foles can't do jack squat without living or wearing a Philadelphia Eagles uniform. I just think he legit can't function outside of Philadelphia. He was – I won't say he was all right because he was pretty daggum terrible in Jacksonville last year, but he showed some flashes, I guess. But everywhere else Nick Foles is gone outside of Philadelphia, he's looked absolutely gosh awful. I don't know where, and I don't know how teams continue to get, it's just to say, duped into giving this guy money or giving this guy some sort of starting role. I'm looking out to Jacksonville and most likely Chicago. I don't see how you can continue to look at the guy, look at his past, and look what he's done and what he most likely is still going to do. I don't see how you can give him some sort of starting role anymore. I don't see how you can have sitting there in your facility and say, let's go after Nick Foles and let's start him. Especially the Bears. Where the Bears, that defense is arguably the best in the league, and they have Matt Nagy over there, and their weapons aren't even awful. Their weapons are good, in fact. I don't see how you can continue to go out there and just give Nick Foles a role or give Nick Foles money. I don't see it.
I think Nick Foles has made as much money off of the fact that he had that one hot streak in a Super Bowl run as Joe Flacco did. And I think that's really – he's not that good. He's a backup quarterback who got hot for a stretch with a very, very talented team around him. Because that Philadelphia Eagles team that won the Super Bowl was one of the two or three best rosters in football the year that they won it. And then people will try and point to what he did last year, 2018. But when he took over in 2018, he ended up throwing against the Houston Texans. He threw for 4 touchdowns and a pick. But other than that, he ended up throwing for 7 picks and 4 picks and 7 touchdowns. So you take that out of it, he had 3 touchdowns and 2 picks. And then in the playoffs, he threw more picks than touchdowns. Like, he had that one hot run that made him that won the Super Bowl. And since then, he's been a guy. And again, I'm not trying to hate on him. Like, good. Like, you need that quarterback, like a backup quarterback that can take over on a talented roster and win you a couple games is very valuable. Like, that's why Andy Dalton is in my top 32. But you don't want that guy as your starter. The fact that the Bears traded for him and acquired that same contract is just crazy. Like, Ryan Pace should have been fired yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Jondres, you have thoughts on Kaepernick.
Yeah, I have him at 31. Just talking about the Bears, like, I have him below Nick Foles but above Mitch Trubisky. I think it's inexcusable that he's not in the league. I actually want to throw out my Cam Newton thought out, though. Can anybody point to a Hall of Fame quarterback in the middle of their career that was a free agent for this long that was white? What is going on? Why is Cam Newton not on a team? It's borderline – I don't know what it is. It's borderline offensive that this guy who's going to end up in the Hall of Fame doesn't have a team.
And I think with him being out of, you know, there was a stretch when between the Panthers, I guess you could say publicly putting him out on the trade block and then ultimately releasing him, there were teams signing quarterbacks left and right. And instead of, I guess you could say, giving him a nice opportunity to go out and test the market, they still held on to him and tried to garner any type of suitable offer that I think everybody knew just wasn't coming. Now, there's no fault in the team trying to get the most available, I guess you say.
In that's how the Seahawks got Russell Wilson. They still drafted a guy after they signed a free agent. Like, I don't care what you did. Yeah. If you're Ryan Pace, like, you're either going to get fired now because you've shown that you can't draft a quarterback, or you're going to get fired later. Take your chances with somebody going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, Chicago hasn't been the best place of, I guess you say, for quarterback history anyway, so it's kind of hard to expect them to do anything right more than that position.
Yeah, I think there's a segment of NFL people out there that run teams that just don't like Cam Newton, honestly. Like, they just don't like him. They don't want him in the locker room. They didn't like him when he was coming out of Auburn, and they don't like him now. I just think it's that simple.
I don't know. It bothers me.
It does. I'm trying to think of what you said, a white quarterback. I can't remember how long Kurt Warner was a free agent after he was let go by St. Louis, and then he went to the Giants. But, you know, he was a guy that kind of fell off on injuries, had a great career with the Rams, and had some injuries and just kind of lost it. So I guess that could be kind of a similarity with Cam Newton. Well, but it is strange, man. It's weird to see.
Who's the backup in Pittsburgh? We've seen them do this with, like,
Henry. It makes so much sense for him to go to the Steelers.
Pittsburgh.
It just makes sense.
Even if, like, if you're not 100% on his ankle for this year, then you trot Big Ben out as your starter this year and have a transition plan for the future.
Yeah, I would 100% take Cam Newton over Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, who both are like.
We saw them last year. Now it's over. There's no point having them on your team anymore.
If you have a win now roster and you don't feel comfortable with your quarterback two right now, you should be giving Cam Newton a call. And the Steelers are a perfect example because they almost made the playoffs last year with probably one of the worst quarterback situations.
Yes, their defense is there.
If Cam Newton is healthy enough to win you two games over what Mason Rudolph gave you last year, like, that's a win.
Right. And there's an extra playoff slot.
And it gives you a potential answer going forward if Big Ben slips.
Exactly.
Who wasn't great in the 1.5 games we saw him in last year?
So let's talk Colin Kaepernick, though, because I feel like we have to. Because the Roger Goodell said today that he is encouraging NFL teams to sign Colin Kaepernick now, whereas before, basically, they were super big on the whole idea of, like, oh, there's no collusion. And I just – first of all, I want to say that one of the biggest mistakes John Elway made was not trading for Colin Kaepernick back when Peyton Manning retired and they lost Brock Osweiler. Mm-hmm. They tried to shortchange Colin Kaepernick on his contract, and Elway outsmarted himself, thinking, oh, I can just find Mark Sanchez and draft a guy. And he ended up drafting Paxton Lynch, which, dating back to when I first started obsessively following the Broncos, is the worst draft decision of any executive for the Broncos since 2000. And it's not close. Like, Paxton Lynch is a huge bust. And it effectively ended Denver's Super Bowl / playoff run with the no-fly zone. And ever since then, Colin Kaepernick then had the year 2016 where he did take a knee against police brutality, and it ended up effectively ending his career to this point. But on that roster with the San Francisco 49ers, he still threw for 16 touchdowns, which was the second highest touchdown percentage of his career. And he threw for just 4 interceptions. And again, he had no help. Like, that None. San Francisco 49ers team was awful.
And his coach was Chip Kelly.
And yeah, Chip Kelly was his freaking coach.
Yeah, I think Colin Kaepernick was very
Since then, there have been teams that have signed, like, Denver traded for Joe Flacco. Teams have signed Mitch Glennon. So, like, the idea that Colin Kaepernick can't at least be in the NFL as of right now is crazy. Like, it's ridiculous to me. And I've seen all the stupid arguments about it. But here's the thing. You watch Mitch Glennon, like, Mike Glennon.
That's the perfect name for him.
Yeah, like, you watch Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon made big money. And Ryan Pace picked Glennon over Colin Kaepernick.
It's the perfect berm, because when you watch Mike Glennon, you really can't tell the difference between Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky. It's the perfect diss.
I think, like, going back to what Joe.
Sorry, Joe, I cut you off, man. What was your final point there?
No, I'm just – that's my point. It's just the idea that Colin Kaepernick can't be in the NFL right now is ridiculous to me. The one thing that worries me going forward, like – and I had this problem when I was ranking him, is because he's now been out of the league so long, I don't – it's not that I don't think he can come in and have success in the league, but I don't know. Like, it's a rather big unknown. It's almost like with Teddy Bridgewater, when he missed time because of his injury, it's kind of hard to rank Teddy Bridgewater right now because there's so many unknowns to his game. And I think Colin Kaepernick is like that. But I do hope that he gets a chance to play for a team that has a shaky enough quarterback situation where he can find his way to time. Because I think he's better than some of the quarterbacks people are trotting out there as QB1 this year.
Yeah, and going back to the whole Roger Goodell thing, I think that whole statement was just complete bullshit because now he was just forced with the whole, no, I got to see all that type of shit. When he should have just said it, he should have just said and talked to owners about that crap when he was first starting and when the whole thing first started with his whole blackballing situation in the league. You can trot him out there like you said, as a QB1 over some of the quarterbacks that are out there right now. And even then, he's still better than, I guess you say, a little bit more than half of the backups, more than half of the backups are out there in the league. You should put him out there in a nice play-action offense, which he had a lot of success under when Jim Harbaugh was still there as head coach before. Now, you can trot him there as in a play-action offense and you can get him used less, I think he'll be just fine.
I have the perfect landing spot. I just found the perfect landing spot. I think that Colin Kaepernick is a little coach-dependent. He needs a good coach. And the best quarterback coach in the NFL's current backup is Chad Henne. Is Colin Kaepernick better than Chad Henne?
Yes.
Yes.
He should be on the Chiefs behind Patrick Mahomes for a year or two, and then he can maybe find a starting job.
That would honestly –
that would be perfect.
That would be perfect.
With Andy Reid, I mean, that because the media won't attack Andy Reid. Everyone loves Andy Reid.
Everybody loves
him. You know, and so that would be the most perfect spot. He's not going to challenge Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. You know, Marcon is a very progressive owner as well. So
yeah, exactly. That just makes what I never thought of it, but that makes 100% sense. But we know why he's not in the league. We know why.
Yeah,
there's nothing to do.
Yeah, talk about that Roger Goodell statement, but he made it after the public opinion on kneeling before the flag went from 28% approval to 52% approval.
Exactly.
Wait until it went 50.
Shouldn't right. have been that low in the first place, though.
But, yeah, I mean, it's
really good. Well, this is a totally different subject. We're getting into the weeds here. So Ryan, who's your last guy?
Shit. Let me look at my list here.
I bet I'm lower on Josh Allen than all of you guys.
Yeah, Ryan. Yeah. Can I make an executive decision? I think we have to talk about Josh Allen.
Yeah, I have Josh Allen at 20, but I'm not a big fan. I'm just going to say, I'm not a big Josh Allen guy.
Okay, Joe, I'm going to surprise you, man, because I have been super high on him, but I had to take a hard look at the mirror, and I have blinders on when it comes to Josh Allen. I have him at 23.
Oh, wow.
I have Minshew above him at 22 and Haskins below him at 24. But I will say this. I'm going to play devil's advocate for Josh Allen. Aside from missing every wide receiver that goes deep by 15 to 20 yards, he has very few holes in his game. He's a great mid-range passer. He throws incredibly well on the run. I think he's the second-best rusher of all the quarterbacks behind Lamar Jackson. He's got this spunk and this determination to put his body on the line and make wild plays. I think the best comparison for him, and I don't know if you obviously watched John Elway, but I've heard John Elway and I've watched John Elway highlights, and I think he is just slightly worse John Elway. I just
slightly
very much worse. John Elway
is a Hall of Famer.
I'm going to stop talking now. But I like Josh Allen, but I did have him lower. I like him, though, because I don't know. Would you disagree? I feel like there's only one part of his game that's missing.
I mean, it's a pretty important part of his game.
Yeah. Accuracy.
My whole thing My whole thing with Josh Allen, and I don't even think it's just one thing missing from his game. I think there's so many parts missing from his game that it ends up looking like it's his accuracy. But Josh Allen's mechanics are just atrocious.
Horrible.
They're horrible.
The fact that people questioned if Lamar Jackson could play quarterback but gave Josh Allen a pass is remarkable to me, because Josh Allen is the guy who shouldn't be playing quarterback in the NFL right now. He's a full he's a better Tim Tebow. And I've said this before, and
dare you disrespect Tim Tebow like that?
But Josh Allen is essentially a fullback who also can throw the ball. And the Bills offensive structure is good enough to kind of support the fact that he's not consistent, and he can't consistently find the ball past his first read, and he can't consistently deliver the ball deep. He has a strong arm, but it's a howitzer that can't hit the broadside of a barn. Part of that is his upper body and his lower body are essentially disconnected. So he never brings his hip around. He never throws the ball with any sort of consistent accuracy. And I watched the Broncos game against the Bills a couple weeks ago because I was watching Justin Simmons. He throws the ball right to Justin Simmons because he throws the ball 5 feet above his receiver's head. And it's a 20-yard pass. Like, it should be an easy, wide-open completion, and he just can't deliver it. And it's actually really awesome to see the Buffalo Bills make the kind of commitment to bring in Stephon Diggs this year, because Josh Allen's not going to have any excuses. Like, if Josh Allen sucks this year, people aren't going to be able to say, oh, well, his receivers aren't good. It's like, no, he had Stephon Diggs. He's not good.
And Stephon Diggs is, like, the worst possible wide receiver to pair with him because
I love it.
Stephon Diggs – his number one thing that he does well is run, like, deep routes. And the one thing Josh Allen can't do is throw the deep ball. So.
Oh, God. Eric, can I ask you a quick question, a yes or no question?
Yeah.
This is not a joke. I don't want to hear any snickering. Do you have romantic feelings towards Josh Allen?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay, thank you.
The thing
I said I don't want to hear snickering.
I'm just a man. I love him.
I'm just... It's hearty laughs, man. I love you, Jonas. It's hearty laughs, man. The thing with Josh, I really can't say more than what y'all said. He's like, I guess you could say, let's say you're a high school coach, you're walking around a school, you see some big 6'4" looking like a 300-pound guy, and you recruit him to come join the football team. Okay, you stick him out there on practice one day. And he looks totally uncoordinated. It looks horrible. I don't know if that's a good, I guess you could say, comparison to Josh Allen's situation, but he's like throwing a big guy with no balance out there to do ballerina. He's so uncoordinated. He has no touch. He's just a brute. He's a brute, man. Big old arm just throws it all over the place. The guy needs to work. Not his son. He needs a lot of work. I believe it was Joe had said, throwing out there saying, if you can't, Josh Allen can't do what he's supposed to do this year, you know, it's your fault. I think that's what comes with the intrigue of drafting Jake Fromm, who they drafted out in the draft. Jake Fromm, I'm not a big fan of him either, but if Josh Allen stinks it up, I guess you could say, stinks it up again this year, then I guess you could say the call for Josh Allen might increase in quantity, not quality.
I think Jake Fromm should be, like, suspended or something. That guy's a lunatic.
Yeah, that guy's a lunatic.
Dear Lord.
Gosh, man.
Jonders, your final guy.
I don't know, man. Like, I was going to do Colin Kaepernick, and then I was like, all right, I won't do Colin Kaepernick. I'll do Cam Newton. I really hate Derek Carr. I'm at 35. I think he stinks. Ivan Below, Tyrod Taylor, and Marcus Mariota. And this is mostly at this point, I don't know why I'm so angry at this person, but I'm wasting my life by watching Raiders on Game Pass.
I have Derek Carr at 33. I have Cap below him at 34, Dalton above him at 32.
I have Cap and Dalton above Derek Carr, which is another thing. Like, hey, I don't know, the Las Vegas, Colin Kaepernick, who cares? You know, 2020 is all like a dream. We're going to wake up on the weekend.
Here's the thing. I listened to this Around the NFL podcast interview with Vic Tafur, and everyone's like, oh, Carr's just a total check down guy. That's kind of what John Gruden wants him to be. Like, that's for
Gruden. Oh, no. John Gruden got all his money from being the wide receivers coach when Brett Favre was there. He doesn't want that. He wants a guy. He wants a gunslinger.
But hold on. I think that Derek Carr could, like, slightly work out this year because what he does best is throw these little slant routes and these kind of underneath passes, and he has the fastest wide receiver in the draft in Henry Ruggs. Like, I could totally see Derek Carr developing an Eli Manning to Odell Beckham, like, relationship with Derek Carr, where they just send him out on slants and just let Henry Ruggs beat the defense. But yes, I understand that Derek Carr is not great. I'm curious to see where Joe has him.
I actually have Derek Carr higher than I thought I was. I have him in that top 20 pool with, like, the Baker Mayfield's Cousins and stuff, just because for what he does well, and I think he's a guy that you can win with. But I do think he's kind of a put some things on the table and he takes some things off, and you kind of have to try and survive those things. But with the kind of offense that Gruden put around him last year, Oakland's offense was the seventh most efficient in football, and they almost won enough games to make it to the playoffs, despite the fact that their defense was as bad as anybody outside of maybe Detroit. That said, like, Derek Carr's weakness against pressure is comical. Like, I've made jokes about it in the past. And I don't think he's a deep ball passer. So basically, you have to be able to win consistently. I do think with the weapons they have, he's going to limit what Henry Ruggs does. But if they can make Henry Ruggs into, like, a dangerous yak threat, I think he could look pretty good. So I have him right around, like, the 15, like, 20 range.
If Antonio Brown was a sane person and he played all 16 games for the Raiders last year, are we even talking about Derek Carr as a starter this year? Or is he been exposed as someone who
That's a good question. Oh, man.
Ryan, what do you think?
I forgot all about Derek Carr, honestly. I didn't even have him on my list.
Oh, that's the meanest thing anyone said about any quarterback.
He's so forgettable to me, man. Like,
that's the meanest thing you could say.
I know. But you know what? I do think he will have a better year this year. He was efficient last year. I think he's going to – I think with Ruggs, I think that was a great signing. I love what Ruggs does in an intermediate level and the way he can take things deep. So I think, you know, I think we're not going to see a lot of deep passes from Carr, but you will see more production from him in the passing game. And, you know, you could do a lot worse than Derek Carr, I think.
Derek Carr cried last year.
Yeah, he sure did. He did. I had Derek Carr the same with Joe. I had him in that 15 to 20 range. I had him in 18, but don't laugh at me. I had him at 18, but you could literally throw him anywhere from 18 to what? 32, beyond 32, whatever you want to do. But Derek Carr, like, the whole check down Charlie crap, I don't like it. I hate it. Because I think everybody loves to see their quarterback push the ball down the field. But I don't think I've seen a quarterback, I guess you could say, except from Marcus Mariota in 2018 and when he played his limited action in 2019, the reluctance to push the ball down the field. I don't think I've seen a quarterback just to have that weird reluctance to just throw the ball down the field. And I think I think his whole wide receiver situation last year contributed to that, really, because his top wide receiver was – well, it was supposed to be Antonio Brown before he went off the rails. But after AB had been traded and, you know, everything happened with that, his top receiver was Tyrell Williams. And Tyrell Williams isn't some burner – known as some burner speedster. I guess you'd say he's a possession type wide receiver that can go out there and get some – catches from time to time, but I think the whole lack of speed up there on the wide receiver played a big part in Derek Carr's, I guess you say, limited numbers and pushing the ball down the field. And what that Joe said about Derek Carr bringing some things and taking things away, I think that the running game really just played a big part in just Derek Carr just going with the motions, doing whatever, I guess, and not being so aggressive. There were some times where he should have been a lot more aggressive last year, and I think John Gruden probably cursed at Derek Carr while he's watching film by himself Monday, Tuesday morning, just looking at film and cursing, why'd you throw the damn ball down the field or some crap like that. But the reluctance to throw the ball down the field is really what confused me because I haven't really seen a quarterback do that often, I guess you say, in the past decade or so.
Do you guys believe that he's going to lose his job to Marcus Mariota this year?
Yes.
It depends on how they start.
Yeah. The only way I see Marcus Mariota taking over that job is if Marcus Mariota, first off, is he's freaking healthy, because I don't even know if he's still dealing with that daggum nerve injury that he had from a couple of seasons ago. But Derek Carr stinks it up again with that improves skill and speed at the wide receiver position. Then yeah, I
think my thing is, are we sure Marcus Mariota is really better than Derek Carr?
See,
I just feel like they're equivalent.
And yeah, no.
Equivalent is better when you're not playing.
Ryan, you gave me a resounding no. What's up with that?
Derek Carr can be a decent start in this league. I just don't see it with Mariota. I just have not seen it yet. I don't see a starting NFL caliber quarterback for 17 games, whatever. You know, he's a backup. Yeah, Mariota is a backup to me. And it's a guy that I like coming out of Oregon. I really like Mariota, but I just hadn't seen it since he's been in the NFL. That could change. Look at Tannehill.
Of course. That's
fair. All right. Final guy, and thank you all for – I might actually, if you guys are cool with it, I might actually cut this down into two episodes just because we are at about 2 hours at this point, if you all are cool with that.
I think you should cut it into five and then release it all throughout next week.
Maybe I'll do that. We'll have to find some good stopping points.
My wife is giving me nasty looks over here.
Okay. Gardner Minshew, two sentences on Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew, his pocket movement just reminds me of Russell Wilson. And I think he's really good. I have him at 22.
I have him at the end of the serviceable starter. So he's on the border of backup and starter in my eyes.
I have him at 26.
I have him at 26 exactly too.
Yeah. I have him at 27. I guess those first couple games that he had or the action that he had while Nick Foles was still rehabbing that shoulder injury looked okay. He had some moments, but he just wasn't fitting or spectacular. I have him at 27. I have him above Tyrod Taylor and below Ryan Fitzpatrick. So he isn't spectacular, but he had some moments, and you'll just have to see if he builds off that.
All righty. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. I'll just give you all your shout outs because I know where all of you are at. Joe Rowe, a great writer for at Joe Rowe and Joe Rowe underscore NFL, I believe, right? Yep. You can find his writing on SB Nation for the Broncos at
Mile High Report,
not Mile High Huddle. That's the SI branch.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. At That Boy Wolf on Twitter, Ryan, the Great Saints Twitter podcast. Go check that out. At Jonders FPT on Twitter, the great forward pass thinking audio content podcast.
Ask me how my date went tonight.
How did your date go?
I farted in front of her.
Oh, yikes. That is bad news. And Trey, a Titans writer for Black Sports Online, at TreyJean099, right?
Yeah, it's TreyWatkins099.
TreyWatkins099. All right. Thank you guys. We will see you all on Thursday, and this will come out kind of throughout the week and throughout the next couple weeks. So enjoy. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want to shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.